morning, everybody. I represent the Congress of the People. My name is Monsieur Wellacorda.
My name is Siposelwe Masango. I'm the chair of the committee. I come from Mpumalanga. Thank you.
My name is Rubabalo Sibora. I'm the secretary of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. My name is Elma Ida. I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm from the African National Congress, which is 106 years old, and my name is Dineo Rafferty. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. I'm Wanama Kumke, Nelu Mashadela, representing the EFF from Nepal.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Dineo Masaba. I'm the content advisor to the committee.
Good morning, members. My name is Amakasa. I'm a committee assistant.
David, who are you?
Good morning,
honorable members. My name is David Masaba, and I'm the researcher for the committee.
Under the adoption of the agenda, I want to propose one or two things. The first one is that we defer the consideration of the quarterly report. In your package, there are three quarterly reports that we must consider today. And because there are two other that are due for consideration next week, Wednesday, that we defer this three and then we deal with all of them cumulatively for next week, if you agree. And that, therefore, today we look at the committee report on the bill and adopt it, and look at the oversight report, which we also did whilst we were in Canada, and then we adopted, and then we, let you deal with that. There's a report on one. Oh, and we deal with the minutes. And there are many. The minutes are many. We start from May to this point. Can I hear you? On our calendar.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have no problem with your recommendations and support it. I would like to ask for a program of work from now until perhaps the half term, what we would be doing for the first half of the year, perhaps next meeting that we be here.
We have stakeholders that were not available last year. to consult on the bill that we had deferred to this year. So now we are working very fast to try and get confirmation of those stakeholders so that we can finalize their input into the bill. So we should, we're fighting that at least by today or tomorrow we get confirmation so that we can put them in after the bill of the next chapter.
Yeah, the explanation is yes and no. Yeah. We still, what we should do next week, factor in the stakeholders that have not been consulted in the discussion about the bill, that they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then try to spread, can we do Amanda from time to time? And then factor in everything else. Then just give it to remember.
thank you very much, honorable members. Let us look at the study talk. The study talk report. The study talk report is called September 2017. The study talk report is what? The last two documents in the file. The last two documents on the file, the one that is written draft report of the Portfolio Committee on International Relations and Cooperation on the study tour to Ottawa, Canada, dated there 2017. That's the report we must look at now. First, if you look at the structure of the report, the first part deals with introduction. The second part deals with the delegation that was able to represent us in Canada and the support staff. The second part, the third part deals with the structure of the draft report, the background and the context. And the other part deals with our observations that we made when we were in Canada. The other part deals with the different stakeholders. The different stakeholders that we met. Let's look at that. That's on page 4 of the report. It deals with the stakeholders that we identified that we're going to deal with in Canada. I think page 5 deals with the objectives of the study tour, as well as the key and important questions that we thought we will deal with. Then the rest in the body of the report deals with our discussions and our engagement with each of the stakeholders, which I think, for the purpose of this meeting, I want to say something I wonder if you said in English. Not necessarily necessary. I'm not sure if anyone is allowed to say that.
Yeah.
I'm saying the body of the report which deals with what we got in each of the stakeholders that we engage, that we don't merge into that. What we do instead do, we get into the finding. We speak to each of the lines in the finding, because the findings themselves are reflective of what we got from the different stakeholders. That stakeholder is responsible for that, that one is doing that, that one is doing that. Then it's time saving. And then we look at some of the recommendations that we're making. With that, you'll see that we'll be able to spend at least an hour or so if we deal with it that way. That's how this report has been structured by the content advisor. And just to say a few things before, that the bill came before this committee for consideration in 2015. And the process has been a little bit painfully slow. We were sometimes not allowed to travel at the time wanted to travel. Sometimes we're told there was no money. Sometimes we're told this time of the year other committees have already traveled, etc., etc. It's not been good for the committee. But we also, as a committee, did say that it was necessary that we identify a number of countries. And first, our view was that we needed to consider visiting countries that are, should I say, dissimilar. One country among a group of countries that do not have foreign service legislation. They just have practices and conventions, etc., etc. And China was one of them, and some of the other countries, no legislation. Then we also wanted to pick Honorable Mashabela on among the countries, one country that has got legislation. And we were also saying that this is for the first time since 1994 that South Africa is actually making a legislation that will govern and regulate foreign service. And of course, foreign service will then also involve or affect other social partner departments, your home affairs, your state security, your defense, etc., because they are also players in that particular field. So we're saying we're going to compare those besides the first time. Parliament did not allow us the luxury of doing that. Finally, they allowed us only to go to Canada, which has got the legislation, which has got institutions that are dealing with foreign service, etc., etc., etc. We'll speak to that shortly. And we also said that Canada was strategic in the sense that their policies and positions in the foreign service has evolved over a long period of time. And like many other countries, they are also players in that they are members of different international organizations, not just the United Nations, but they are also in the NATO, they are also in the that League of the Americas, and many others. They are listed in the report. So we did feel that going to Canada would benefit the committee, but also the institutions that they have established at the university level, and the training that you must undergo in order to be posted in the foreign service. All of those will come out of the report. And I'm going to speak to that very shortly. With your permission then, we could go to page 5, page 4. These are the stakeholders that we decided we're going to visit. The department that was handling international relations, the department that was handling public service, the Diplomatic Training Institute, the Foreign Policy Think Tank, and the academia, and of course, South Africa's nations that is accredited to the country. These are the stakeholders that we said are a must for a visit.
Page 4.
Are you that now?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And of course, on page 5, I don't think I should get into that on the aims and the objectives of the questions that the delegation was going to latch on. Those were obvious. The study tour, it was to learn the best practice. It was to learn how they navigate their legislation within and with other departments, and how they've gone about doing that. So I will not get into that. And the key questions of the study talk are listed. They are listed, just to revise your memory, they are listed on page 5, the last part there. There is Roman figure 1 up to Roman figure 6. They are listed there. This is what wanted to find out. This is what wanted to find out. And I'm just avoiding reading them verbatim. There's a part that I do want to read very, very quickly, and it is on page, it's called findings. That one, I want to deal with that one, line by line. What is it right now? That we speak to each line verbatim.
Yeah.
But of course, it is, I must warn you, it is best understood if you have read the book of the report. But I spent some short time on this one.
Yeah.
For instance, the first one talks about the issue of a single foreign service that is a challenge in many jurisdictions, which is true. And however, it should be enforced in order to have a legally accountable head of mission. And you will see that later there is something called a 110 policy in Canada, which ensures that although you have many players, but your center of accountability politically is not compromised, because the center of accountability, which is the head of the mission, and the head of the mission ultimately accounts to the head of the state, head of government. Within Canada is a constitutional democracy. Constitutional democracy, which is monarchical. The head of state is representing the queen, is the governor general. So you have a head of government, the prime minister. So I'm just saying, this line actually speaks to what is obtaining in many countries, that in many jurisdictions, the question of one single foreign policy is indeed a challenge. The second one, it says the role of unions is important in discussions of legislation affecting foreign service personnel, as they are still part of the overall public service sector. This is what we found in Canada. And just before that, if I can just link it to South Africa, you would know that Nihao wanted to speak to us. You would know that the PSPC wants to speak to us. They're still coming. And COSATU wants to speak to us, because the officials that are serving in the foreign service as directors general, et cetera, that are members of different unions, Solidarity, et cetera, et cetera. So they will always tell you that you're going to recall our members, you're going to do this, they want to input into the bill. This is also the case in Canada. But they don't have a final body. It is only in the consultation process, just like ours. In the consultation process, they must play a role, they hear them out, they factor in their issues, but ultimately government does what government must do. So this is also what we noted, that in the evolution of any legislation, bring them in as a stakeholder. The third one was that entry into foreign service demands the passing of sector-specific examinations. It demands proficiency in foreign languages, professionalism, and overall good decorum. They should be ready for rationality and mobility as a condition of service. Now, and let me just add a few here, which are linked to this one. You must be 32 years old to enter as a foreign service. You must have a degree. And you must be the citizen of Canada. Now, if you have dual citizenship, you may be posted, but your rank will be lower. But let me go back to the line itself. They want you to be proficient in foreign languages. Now, when we ask them what do you mean by foreign, they said, okay, it's English, but we also speak French. But if you're going to be posted to Germany, so it must be English, French, and Germany, or English and Spanish, or English and something else. In other words, in one of the languages where you will be posted, you must be proficient in the foreign language where you are likely to be posted. I see that they are members.
I'm a bit lost as to what you're talking about, because what you're reading is not here.
Oh.
10.29.
Be careful not to be looking at the oversight report. We're looking at the study tour report.
The first one is the study tour, and the second one is the oversight.
Our members with us now.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to speak to this finding, and what may be wrong, but it will be time consuming if we speak to each of the findings. I thought I'll look through them, and then we can then speak about it.
Yeah, go through. That's when
we go through,
to make on their own and finding you.
Yeah. And you see, the other thing that we picked up, I'm not sure if in South Africa we have this, but I'm not sure if it's a comparison, but is that sector-specific examinations must be passed.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go and work in the Foreign Service? Where?
Mm-hmm.
No, in the trade and industry sector, or in strategic diplomacy, or in whatever. Then you must pass the examination. In other words, you go there almost as a specialist. So Global Affairs Canada also make sure that this person is fit and proper in terms of their decorum, in terms of their conduct, in terms of their professionalism to be deployed in that particular sector. My observation is that they take foreign service very seriously. They make it a professional career. And you will see that later in our discussion, we would have observed that almost 80% of the people who are posted in the foreign service are actually career diplomats. And there's a percentage smaller who are political appointees of the prime minister. So that's one of the observations that was made. Now, number four speaks about the Inspector General. The Inspector General oversees issues of the compliance in foreign missions. This unit has to address challenges in the missions effectively even before Parliament can intervene. So once a matter of misconduct or a matter, what you call a diplomatic incident, you know, diplomatic incidents are many. If it arises, it is referred to this office. And this person deals with this matter, doesn't wait for the Parliament. Parliament may not be sitting at that particular time. The Inspector General will make a timely intervention and address this matter and report to Parliament. By the time the committee sits and looks at this matter, it would have been expeditiously dealt with, or it will be with the recommendation that has been made by the Inspector General. This office is a highly respected office. Even when you are being recalled, this office must also make a face-off. It's not a finality, it starts with the head of the mission, but the office itself is important in this affair. Honorable Bumluana?
No.
Okay. I'm galloping through the findings. Then we have to discuss that because it's better orientate us back to this thing that we saw there. And number five speaks about the Foreign Service Institute, which plays a pivotal role in preparing foreign service personnel. We've just spoken about it. This institute, like we have at DERPO, you've got to go there, you've got to be studying, you've got to write exams, you've got to show some fair proficiency in understanding the dynamics of international relations, but particularly the area to which you will be posted. If you're going to serve in the Americas or in the Asian countries or in Africa or in Europe, you've got to satisfy this Foreign Service Institute. Number six says the citizens are eligible for posting in Canada, even citizens with dual citizenship qualify, but not at the head of the mission level. You see, I spoke to that earlier on. If you have dual citizenship, you can't be the ambassador or the high commissioner. You can't represent the country because you are Canadian and American or Canadian and Belgian. So you can't be head of the mission. But there's a condition that you must receive a secret or a top secret security clearance. You must have been vetted that you are worthy of your name to represent the state of Canada. That should be true about many states. Number seven, Canada prioritizes the posting of career diplomats. I've just spoken to that. Career diplomats, so the majority of them are career diplomats. Number eight, Global Affairs Canada has the overall responsibility for management of assets in missions abroad, assets in particular. The immovable assets. What you have there, they must have the asset register we discovered in our mission that we have got an online asset register. In our own, it is in the report about the oversight. They must know everything and they take decision and responsibility for this. So they don't have the problem that we normally come across in the Auditor General's report on assets. The Public Service Commission trains all individuals. Now, the Public Service Commission and the Foreign Service Institute, which is under number five, is not necessarily the same thing. And it's not also the same thing as Global Affairs Canada. They are close to each other, and just as the other think tanks that we'll image that later. There's a confluence of work somewhere down the line, but they are not necessarily doing the same thing.
Can you repeat that?
No, I was saying the Public Service Commission, which you see on 10.9.
Hmm.
Yeah? And then what you see on 10.8, Global Affairs Canada. And what you see on 10.5 on the Foreign Service Institute are not necessarily the same thing. They're not necessarily the same function. But of course, because they are dealing with issues in the Foreign Service and the various dynamics, they're not doing the same thing, but there's always a confluence of shanana of my ideas in that, or they stream to the same direction, in that ultimately it is intended to serve the national interest of Canada. That's the point I was making. So 10.9 then says that, I've spoken to that. Now 10.10, what I didn't say about 10.9 is that the Public Service Commission trains all individuals who intend to join the public service. And then, Global Affairs Canada would in turn train them on specific diplomatic skills before going on posting. Then Foreign Service Institute collaborates with training institutes for other departments in preparing people. You see, this interplay of roles is quite a very interesting one. And then that brings us to number 10. Think tanks like academia and non-government organizations play an important role in training, in capacitating, in preparing the Foreign Service personnel. They also help improve early warning systems and feed into the progressive narrative of national interest. Collaboration with them is important for the Foreign Affairs Department. So the various think tanks do what some of our think tanks are, your IGD, the IGT, the Institute of Strategic Studies, etc. In other words, while you are dealing with the Foreign Service Institute, the Global Affairs, and all these think tanks that are based in the universities are helpful for someone who wants to be a career diplomat, in that they make an on-point analysis, or rather an on-time analysis. the thing that had happened in the USA last week by the president, the thing, the election of a new president in Canada, the resignation or the death of the queen in that country. In other words, these things that are emerging immediately, the think tanks in academia actually analyze them, and then they publish their information because they are professors, they are doctors, they're part of their work, but it's part of informing the country. So for anyone who's going into the foreign service must actually be tied to developments like that. It's quite interesting. And number 11 says that an effective foreign service should be based on national interest. Now they said what we are also saying, that it doesn't matter what party you belong to, doesn't matter what religion you belong to, national interest is national interest, Canadian interest. And therefore, it is advisable to have one message that is communicated outside the world, and it's a Canadian message, it's a pro-Canadian message. Close collaboration is needed between finance, public service, home affairs, trade and foreign affairs in order to harmonize policies that affect personnel serving abroad as well. Now, if you were to ask ourselves why is it this one, this one that I see missing here is defense. Because Canada does have a role in peacekeeping mission. But these ones like us, are actually mega players. They are there on trade, they are there on home affairs, they are there on all of this. So there must always be this harmonization and interplay of their policies, etc. 10.13, matters of recall or request for removal of foreign service personnel and the responsibility of the head of mission. So the ambassador or the high commissioner will say this person must be recalled for this particular reason, then global affairs together with the inspector general will also confer among themselves, and then this person will be recalled. And this determination, no one else below the head of the mission can make this. The important oversight role is played by Parliament in the pursuit of a functional system of foreign service. So the oversight is not taken away from anyone like us. We could have said oversight and accountability. Because somewhere in the body of the report it does say that the Minister of Foreign Affairs is invited to Parliament for accountability on finances, on policies, on things that have the Committee of Parliament may find, stretch, or may find that they are worthy of their explanation. They summon the minister. And there are further points that do not appear in your report. They are in my notes. I just added them, and I'm going to speak to them. The Minister of Global Affairs has the responsibility to draw up regulations governing the Foreign Service of Canada. So in other words, the regulations that cover as to what must happen, which are linked to the Foreign Service legislation, but here we're talking about the regulations, must be drawn by the minister. And they must be passed in Parliament. Therefore, they become binding in the mission to everyone. I got that in there in the board of the report. Again, the minister accounts to Parliament through reports, through answering questions, through any other means that Parliament wants him or her to come to Parliament. The other one is that Global Affairs is responsible for all immovable assets that are in the Foreign Service. I think this one has been spoken to. Now, there's an interesting phrase. It's called 110 policy. Now, the 110 policy, because it's hyphenated, it's 110 policy. What it means is only one captain is authorized to sign off on any activities of the mission support. And that is the head of the mission. Yeah. After everyone else has expressed their views and whatever, this person, they will say, no, now ultimately, so-and-so will then say, we'll sign off this thing. And this person will represent, by the way, the government in Canada, the head of the mission. So everything ultimately, the buck stops with him or her. I hope it is him. Or I will draw that one. Him or her. number 15, recall is done by the head of the mission. I think we've spoken about the consultation with the chairman of that. Yeah. In the main, this constitutes our findings in Canada. Now, as members would remember, we have said that those that the findings that we have made that we think are interesting and we don't have them in South Africa, we are going to take them into our recommendations when our report is presented to Parliament. That this study talk, there are these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that we think we don't have them and we factor them in. And the members will speak to them when they are speaking. Now, there is a conclusion there that has been done by the content advisor on page 26. Just a few lines. He says these findings will serve as a guide. The committee needs to consider the following areas in the Foreign Service Bill. One is that South Africa needs to decide what the country needs to achieve through a foreign service legislation. Of course, if you were to look at the objectives of the legislation earlier on and what it intends to do to harmonize everything in that particular environment, etc., etc., having undertaken this study talk, the committee will guide itself in that direction. Then the other one is that the cost historicity.
What is the meaning of this issue? South Africa needs to decide what the country needs to achieve through foreign service missions. What is the actual meaning of that?
You want to explain it yourself? The mail? You can explain it yourself, but I'll give it a political meaning. You can come in.
Okay, what is what's intended there is to capture the process of public hearings that are already taking place. That in order for the committee to have a comprehensive foreign service bill, it needs to have input from the people of South Africa, which is what is the process that is happening, that is going on.
No, I not that you are wrong, but I don't understand it that way. When you are saying that South Africa needs to decide what the country needs to achieve through foreign service legislation, because there are things we are achieving without legislation. And the thing that we want to achieve by enacting a legislation are captured in the object of the bill itself, which is that there are many players and they are unregulated. So you want to bring them in and ensure that there is a single foreign service legislation for South Africa, which harmonizes everything else, which is binding to everyone else. Unfortunately, as we noted, there are players that you may not bring in that sort of way. Your state security, your defense as some of, but the rest, at least they must be understanding that they do everything within a particular broad legal framework. Another question.
If this sentence sounds to me that it's not complete, South Africa needs to decide what the country needs.
We can do it out here.
Can I make a comment?
Are we discussing it or are we still going to the opening for the discussion?
Yeah, let's open for discussion. I think the third line is actually interesting and I want to read it. It says South Africa, unlike Canada, has no legislative system regulating the foreign service sector. We have conventions and practices like other countries, but we have no regulation. So what we have done as a delegation, we have noted many similarities, we have also noted many dissimilarities. We have noted practices that we think are not there in South Africa, and we also noted that the Canadian Foreign Service has evolved over a long period of time, just like that of South Africa, and it's a very friendly country towards South Africa. So it was indeed a very good experience, in my view, to have engagement with the different stakeholders. There was only one request, and one only, that you were in there with your nice papers, you know, and that the Committee of Parliament was in respect.
Thank you very much for your explanation. And I think you've done a very good job by going there and get to know what's going on. I do have a problem. We are in a different situation in South Africa. I think Canada belongs to what is now called the Western countries. Yeah. And they've got similar foreign policy. There is no disagreement within Canada as what is the foreign interest of the country.
Nothing.
Here, I think it depends on which government is in power. You find the opposition having a completely different meaning of national issues. And we have maybe the best way is to say let the government in power, let those who are not in power toe the line of the government in power at a particular time. Because we do have completely different interests. I think what we are trying to do is to make the, for example, you've got the provinces and the cities having twining agreements with various cities and so on. And some of them contrary to the policy of the foreign policy of the country. And I think this particular legislation will probably solve that part of it. This brings me to the question of career guidance. Diploma. I appreciate what they talk about career. But I think that it is also important that they also understand. You see, we've got, let's take the Soviet Union, I mean the Russians or the Chinese, as well as the Americans and Canadians and the English. You can see that these are different opposing views of what is understood by the foreign policy and what they must understand. But they can have career guidance, but at the same time,
career
they do
diploma,
have...
Career diploma. Career diploma.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the career diploma. I don't know what that means. Whether it fits in very well to our situation. Or if you talk in terms of academic, that you go and read and read what you're supposed to do at a degree. But with our situation, which is fluctuating, we don't belong either to the interest of the West or the interest of the East. Hence, we're divided as a nation as to what to grab here and there. That those are the problems I'm talking about, which I think will have problems. Particularly when you talk about career diploma.
What is the problem?
The problem is on foreign policy, let's put it that way. What do you understand by interest of the nation? You can ask in this room, you'll find completely different answers. Now, you can go out and ask each and every political party to find completely different answers. That is the problem, which you don't get in going to in Canada or in America or in Soviet Russia or in China. You don't get that. They're all so one line. And here we don't. I think that Demokhalava will address you on that. He will certainly say something completely different from perhaps what I understand to be what is the interest of the nation. And so I'm saying you have a career diplomat who's going to study which side of the coin is going to be in these two or three policies, understanding of what is meant by national policy. That is the problem we have. And I think that my solution would be winner takes all. What the government of the day thinks is in national interest, everybody must throw that line. And I think that will be the problem, the only way that can solve our problem. Because when you get in America, for example, it doesn't matter whether it is the conservative or is the Democrat. Who we are in power, the foreign policy almost remains the same, similar, very almost the same. Here, we don't. So all I'm saying, I just want to bring that to the attention of the committee and come, how do we solve that? Now this is particularly talking about career diploma. The career diploma is going to study in a school. At a school, what will be said to be the national interest? That question alone will have different answers. Now, that is what I wanted to pick up and raise. These are the problems that we are likely to get. I mean, when I'm looking at the Canadians, it's unfortunate that we didn't get to the other part, that is to go to the eastern part. Probably also. And by the way, there is a Forest Service Act in China, although it was set on day 10. What I'm trying to say is that it's a pity, maybe better also to get them to address us on this, if we talk to their diplomats and ask them to give us an insight of how they do this thing, and so that we have the combat. Then I thought we said we could do something like that. So if we can do that, maybe we also have an understanding more. But as I say, it helps my understanding is that you've got the Western European having more or less a similar understanding of what is in the interest of the national interest. And also going to the East, you get almost the same thing. If you find in all foreign organization institutions, you will find the same problem in the Security Council, you get the same problem also in various international organizations. You get almost these are the divisions that you find. The question is, South Africa doesn't toe any line of the history. It is got a policy of its own. But when it comes to the question of national, when it comes to the question of national interest, we need to, if we talk about it becoming our anchor in making this legislation, we have some serious problems. Thank you very much.
Define the principal contour of what constitutes national interest. The separate thing. Now, in this discussion of the legislation, of the things that was seen in Canada, I want to put parties on another one from that has brought us in the separate manner. However, in the manner in that he has brought it in, he is aware of the discussion and I attempted a response after members have spoken to me to throw in my own understanding. But I'm just saying, in national interest is not part of this legislation. Here, what about the legislation? But legislation must serve national interest. So that's where they need to be. Madam Khalafa?
Thank you very much, Honorable Puma. Definitely,
you know,
I have
up.
No problem.
on Kota Ono Kalyan.
Thank you, Honorable Rekota, for this. Chairperson, we discussed the findings and the conclusions of the report.
Yeah.
So I don't even think that it's correct for you to now say you comment on what the Honorable Wana has to say about national interest. That goes into the substance of the bill. We are now discussing what our findings were on the study chair. And I thought that the discussion was about that. So, to assist the committee on the point that South Africa needs to decide what the country needs, I don't think that that's a relevant a conclusion or comment to make. Because there is a bill before us. It already has objectives. So, to put that into here would mean that we don't we've already started processing the bill, but that we don't acknowledge that it does have objectives and so on. So I think we would do well to delete that section. And maybe in our findings on the bill itself, we could then say whether the objective has been met or not. But I don't think it has any relevance in this report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mukalapa.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to say I think the report is very much well done in terms of capturing what we have observed and seen in Canada. And I think there are quite fundamental principles of what we've seen that sums up the whole study tour, which is a non-partisan, professional, independent, well-trained and skilled diplomatic corps. This is the essence of what we have observed in Canada. That has clearly defined national interest, with the head of the mission being the principal. I think it's part of the essence of why we went there. We wanted to see whether what happens in when you want to align a legislation that governs foreign policy. Fundamentally, when you see the conjoinment of those three departments in Canada, that means global affairs, trade and industry, development and foreign affairs. But being at the anchor, being the Department of Foreign Affairs. And I think perhaps maybe to answer Honorable Jimlan on the question of the national interest and why was it at the core center in Canada? And why do we have career diplomats in Canada? By the way, they've got almost 95% because of only five diplomats are the ones that are appointed by the Prime Minister. It's for the UK, the US, the EU, the Middle East, and China. Only five are appointed, are political appointees. The whole of them, out of the 168, are career diplomats. It's because they've got a clearly defined national interest, which, by the way, goes to why they've got career diplomats, because if they go through the global affairs Canada, they go through the Foreign Service Institute.
I might just say they go through the eye of the nation.
They go through the Foreign Service Institute and they go through Global Affairs and go through Canada Foreign Service. So those people are clearly saying on what national interests are. And they are clearly defined from a national point of view. Now, that one is a discussion for another day, Honorable Pumulana, and that is what we're going to have moving forward, a clearly defined national interest of South Africa that can be filtered into a foreign policy and a foreign service mission. So that is why in Canada you've got career diplomats who are trained. Only five are the ones who are political deployees by the Prime Minister. So that is, that's what we need. But one other thing, observation, Chair, that maybe can be filtered in is the issue of paradiplomacy. We've learned that Canada has got 10 provinces, and each conducts their own international trade, but they work collaboratively with the national government. The national government doesn't impose on what must happen to those provinces and the municipalities, but they have a common package of what to sell to the international community, if you can remember and recall. So it's part of their collaboration and working together in cooperation that makes them successful in as far as that is concerned. So that is what I would want to add. And I think my colleague has captured the issue of the conclusion there. The first paragraph can be removed. But just to reiterate my words, what we've seen there is a non-partisan, professional, well-trained, skilled, national interest-seek foreign service that we have observed there, with the head of mission being the leader of the mission, irrespective of whichever department that came from. And I think that is one thing that we need to make sure that we filter through when we go through the discussion. One other thing that we have to filter through is the issue that we're going to grapple with when it comes to the assets. Because the public works is strong on Giyama. They don't want to move. They say Giyama says public works is the custodian of the whole assets of the mission. So here in Canada, Global Affairs Canada is the one that is responsible for all the immovable assets. And I think it's one thing that we have to see how to navigate and juggle around and adapt it to what we want to achieve. The conditions and circumstances, yes, might be different because of, they've got also the Inspector General that assist them to check on the integrity of the mission. They always visit the mission to conduct 10 to 12 visits per year to their mission, just to go and check snapshot service like you and I would do to when we are in housing and going to any province just to go and visit. They do it to their mission because of their this Inspector General. We don't have that. And that is where the problem of the assets is going to be one of key things. So in a nutshell and overall check, I would say what we've learned there has given us more leeway and given us more understanding of what we want to do moving forward. We need a common civil service, foreign service. They all ascribe to the Public Service Act, so we are agreeing on that. The head of mission is the principal of the mission, irrespective of any other line function, and a well-trained cadet that understand the economic diplomacy and understand the national interest of the state. And that is what it's all about, and that is what we've learned, and I think it was a well-crafted report, and it was a thoughtful visit to Canada. We would welcome another visit to China, if Honorable Mbunana can put it, but the one from Canada it was well thought, I think. The summarization of the findings that we've got, one cannot argue more and add more, just to add the substance and but that is the essence. We've achieved what we wanted to achieve. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mukala. There is something controversialish that you have said. And I'm trying to check it and input. Where you are saying that they have got 10 provinces and they are allowed.
I want us to
check whether it is captured there. Because I would find it one, I would find it strange that you have a 110 policy and the provinces allowed a leeway when it comes to certain things, you see.
No, what they said is that before they go into a trade mission, for example,
yeah.
They would sit all together, the province, national, and the city, and say, this is what we're going to do to a particular country. This is our vision. And when they go there, they go on the same common principle and common objective of that. Not the national government saying, we are going there, you know, and you will follow.
Yeah.
But it's there. I will find it for you. I will give you the reference.
Yeah.
No, I would
agree if that is the case, because in the
Ah, page 26. Inspection integrity and better than ethics bureau. Oh no, that one is on their mission. It's the 10th 12th mission study. The one that I was preparing.
Nonetheless, I was just going to make my own interpretation. What is Amity? You've got national interest, you've got central government, or you've got national government.
Yeah.
But it allows space, like South Africa does, it allows space for memoranda of understanding.
Yes.
Between and among province, province to province memoranda of understanding, like Mpumalanga and North Rhine-Westphalia in Germany, or Alberta in Germany or in Canada, something like that. But you then have city-to-city arrangements. You've got Hong Kong twinning with Cape Town or twinning with Swami Metro. But all of them under the purview of South Africa's national legislation and South Africa's national interest. In other words, the country has an overriding decision for a province or a city not to,
not to go to Taiwan.
Yeah, well, Taiwan is an example, or any of things like that. But because I wanted to factor that in our understanding of what we got in
China. Sorry to interrupt you, it's on page 14. Paragraph 3. In terms of consultative mechanism regarding the activities of provinces and municipalities in foreign affairs related activities, the principle of working together for a common good for Canada applies. Global Affairs Canada had to reach an understanding with the provinces and they are now represented in various worlds, blah, 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 blah. With provincial interest, but in line with the aspiration of national interest of Canada. So in terms of the footprint, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So it shows that if you have a clearly defined national interest, that's what they are doing, then you filter that into how the provinces and the municipalities work together to advance their own provincial and regional and city interests based on the framework of the national interest. That's what it is.
One of my cousins, we chill.
Yeah,
but we go to share the composite.
National interest, first of all. We got to find them who are they. Now, where are they? Now, yeah, further input.
You were saying that Canada has no disagreement about national interest. You were respectfully not necessarily right. Because at the level of the parties, all parties differ on home affairs, on economic affairs, on foreign affairs. Sometimes it's a question of emphasis. Because in Canada there are two main parties, the Liberal Party, which is very old, and the Conservative Party, but there are two other parties, the Green Party and the others. I don't think they may have honed their standing on international relations. But they don't always agree. Because others may say, let's pull out of Africa, or let's pull out of peacekeeping missions. They don't always agree. What happens is national interest is not necessarily party interest. In South Africa, what we must understand is that when the DA talks about its views internationally, emphasizing in certain areas and de-emphasizing other areas, That's not national interest.
Mm.
And the same for the ruling party to which I belong. When it says, this is what we are emphasizing, we differ on Israel, we differ on Palestine, we differ on Western Sahara. That's not necessarily national interest, it's party interest. But the advantage that anyone has is that when you are a ruling party, those things that you consider to be interest internationally, then you actually advance them. One of which is our issues about Palestine or our issues about belonging to Britain. The last one was on career diplomacy, that you seem to have been saying that they are controversial. My experience is that even from 1994, right from the presidency of Mandela to the presidency of Zuma, the majority of our diplomats are actually career diplomats. They've been keeping people that have been in the system. And in the early years, they were keeping actually those of the national party. And we did not get diplomatic incidents that these people, because they were national party, especially among career diplomats, which I met as an MEC of outside. There were no diplomatic incidents that they have misrepresented interest because they were belonging to a different party.
Yeah.
Take Tony Leone, for example. You see how Tony Leone behaved here, even towards Mandela, as a party leader, as a leader of the opposition. But when he represented the country, it was a different Leone. Because perhaps he could say, my party says this, personally I said it, but the country says this. Now, all I'm saying is that in a normal country, there must be more career diplomats than political appointees because they evolve with the system. We told you this person starts with, let's say, just talk about Mabado or Dineo. They evolve in the system over years and then they become the head of a mission. They are well qualified, they know the politics of the country, etc., etc. The political appointees are people sometimes you take out of parliament, this is no longer a minister, or is no longer this, you are fine there. And sometimes, depending on their orientation, they may not be too dark on international relations. If someone has been, I nearly mentioned a department, but that's the with due respect to whoever is there, Minister of Agriculture, this person has been dealing with agriculture all the time. And then because he's a famous politician there, the deputy is now an ambassador. We not necessarily understand international politics in their completeness. We are one of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So our countries are my name. And I would advise that let's ask the department when you look at the totality of our diplomats, Bandag who are career diplomats and Bandag who are political appointees. Now evaluation would be something else. But I was just saying we shouldn't say in South Africa what was the problem with that. Because in South Africa, they undergo a 3-month training. Is it sufficient?
No. 30% by the way. 30% Korean VC.
Yeah. So I thought I must clarify that thing, Uti. It is not true, Uti, in Canada, they always agree. At a party level, they don't agree. Even in the USA, which we have also mentioned, they don't look at the thing that President Trump is reversing by President Obama. See, Ipolita Uchi, there's one U.S. policy, but areas of emphasis, even internationally. They want the immigration? So, there's nothing unhealthy, therefore, in South Africa about that. But I see that you want to come back.
No, I was saying, let's agree, let's agree. It's not a big issue, that.
Yeah. No.
But what I was saying is more of global politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that it is very clear from the world group since the so-called Second World War, there has been signs have been, foreign policies have been similar on the Western countries, different to the Eastern countries. And that the basic, the interest, for example, let's say on the question of economic diplomacy, we have got completely different with the DA. They have got a different approach. We've got radical economic transformation. They don't have a similar thing. They've just made an example. When that affects in the foreign policy, what do you do? What would be the national interest? Because what we have now in the foreign service is mainly the policies of the African National Congress, which you agree. That's why I was saying we're not taking off. However, I am saying very clearly that they may differ. America, let's say for example, on the current, in most of the things, they agree. They agreed to go together to attack Saddam Hussein for the sake of oil and so on. They agreed when Britain was there, America was there, and they said they were weapons of mass destruction. In fact, it was a question of a dollar. And that is very clear that they have a similar foreign policy. The Canada did not object to that, centrally. So I'm saying there is a block, what you may call an Eastern block and a Western block. And I'm saying in South Africa, we don't go with either. However, the interest of South Africa, the interest of the West, is that whichever party comes in, they've got a similar foreign policy. Maybe slightly different here, but they have got a similar one, and which is based on what they call a national interest. But I grant you what you're saying, but as I say personally, I think we may differ here and there, and let's agree to differ. Let's agree to differ because we'll discuss that when it comes to the question. There may be a documented foreign policy, but in fact, as you know, that we differ in so many things in this country relating to foreign policy. We differ completely. And how, what is the national interest? Is it the national interest, for example, to close the embassy in Israel? Is it or is it not? Some people will say, no. Let's not do that. The others will say, yes, let's do that. No, the question of national policy in South Africa is completely different. Whereas in America, whichever government comes to power, they will back Israel. You know what, very well. Whether it's the Democrats or what, they will do that. So similar in their policy, similar we don't have that in South Africa at the moment. But however, it is not time, as you correctly put it, to discuss that. We can think about it. I was saying for the question of career diplomacy. I don't know what that means. Because education is to tell people what you want them to know at a particular time for a particular reason. This is what education is. And for a particular thing reason. Now, you then take them to school, it depends which school you went to. And No. I said. Let us, please.
Yeah.
Can we carry on?
Let's move on that.
Yeah.
You are released. Thank you. No, I just thought I must contribute on national interest. Is different from party interest and career diplomacy as a political appointee. Honorable Gentlemen, your hand was up, followed by my name. So
More than less, you wanted to respond. You have a list for the reason that you whispered to me.
Чрез нищо са това малъч и аз какъв полиция на international policy, not people interest of the country, not for interest of the party. Because you never know who's going to be in charge of the country in 3 years or 5 years time. So you're always responsible for those decisions for the nation and not just the party. So it actually stands in contradiction to what you both say.
On my left.
No, thank you, Chair. I think I agree with those who say this report in the main capture what we observed. And as a result, our plan was that maybe we adopt this report. Sorry? Okay. But I was doing the platform. But also saying, even though I suggest that maybe you adopt this report, I would say there are some aspects that we need to put emphasis on and we can make some recommendations. For example, Observation 10.4 on the Inspector General. We have always been crying out that our oversight model is actually in some sort of time. Maybe we need to consider asking whether we can factor them into the issue of having an oversight arm in the form of Inspector General, or anything that can maybe work for us in South Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Putin.
No, the issue that I wanted to say, Chair, it was the issue when you requested the Honorable which is we must be able to get the information in regards to the ambassador. So I was saying that I think if ever it was a political issue, Mr. Tumilion and others that could have not been appointed, I think they have been appointed because of their people are being appointed to be ambassadors because of their capabilities and under understanding of the global issues. So can we pass this chairperson? Because really, we should not politicize this issue of foreign policy and that. Because really, we are having people who are ambassadors who are not from the same political party. But it's because of their understanding, not the human market. So, really, that is my thing. Thank you.
Now, when we attend that today, when we attend that today, Head of Mission Conference in Pretoria, one of the things that the ambassadors and high commissioners were saying, and you could see that they defend their turf.
Yeah, but you must stop dumping any politicians in the foreign service.
And the word dumping was used by them. Because what happened after the election, some of your very good comrades, well, for now it's in the ANC, but any party will do that. At least the National Party, only those in the party you can, the PA will do that. Now,
think someone was in parliament or someone was in the German ambassador. Now, they were complaining very seriously about that to the minister in a meeting. It was me and Hake. You were there. Thank you. It's normal. Stop dumping failed politicians. If you put a good one, but some, they have no clue at all, minister. I can't remember how the minister responded. I think it's a party, and then the president decides, etc. Whilst you are right, I'm just saying, there will be that potion where the president will appoint. Yeah. But for me, if the 80% or 90% are people who are schooled in that area, no matter how you can appoint it, but I, which is the Shanghai, when you say China, when you say USA, when you say Europe, geographically, what are we talking about? Yeah. I'm out of order. Now, there was a recommendation. there was a recommendation from my lab. We note and adopt the report. Then make an example about 10.4.
There's a hand for
assistance. Yes. Okay. Contact
advisor. Thank you, Chairperson. It's just to remind the committee that this report forms part and parcel of the package which the committee is going to refer to when they actually deal with the bill. We have a report from the public seminar in Pretoria. We have public hearings, and then we'll have this report. So what this report will do is the secretary will ATC it so that officially it forms part and parcel of the document that the committee has adopted. At the moment, the committee can adopt it, but then when it goes, then we are going to ATC it so that there is a true reflection of what happened in the study talk. Then at the end, when the committee sits now and considers the bill, they will take recommendations from the findings and also from the body of the report and factor them into the bill itself. Now as drafting of the bill. So all in summary, this forms another leg of what we call public hearings with the committee, the processes that the committee has undertaken. It will go, but it will just be taken as a record. There are no recommendations as yet, because recommendations which will come from here are the ones that the committee will reflect and in the bill itself to say no. On this clause which says only citizens of South Africa, we are recommending this on the bill. Quoting the experience and the good practice they got from Canada. So it's a different, it's another process towards our final report, which is a draft, the first reading.
Now, thank you very much on that way forward. Shouldn't we expand on page 26? That line, which says that South Africa needs to decide what the country needs to achieve through a foreign legislation.
Okay, all the amendments which members have recommended, we are going to effect them. In fact, there are some from the body of the report which has been identified as also wrong findings. We'll take them and put them into findings. Issues on assets, issues on consultative mechanisms, issues on the 110 policy, and then we are going to delete that paragraph in the conclusion. That's the matter. So the cleaning of the documents we are going to do so that it's a true record of after the discussions of the members, is that it should be adopted with amendments.
Okay. I want to record the verbatim comment of Honorable Mashal. Honorable Shabbat, don't you have a maiden comment?
Not really. Thanks very much, Chairperson. Thanks about the report on the findings in Canada. I thought maybe you were still going to take the trip to Canada these days. So I'm unfortunate because you are back from Canada. No, thanks a lot. I've enjoyed the committee today for the first time coming here and engaging with you, but I'm very, very happy about the members. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Alama Chavela. So there was a proposal. Can I hear Sakenda?
Yeah.
On that topic.
With amendments.
Okay. Thank you very much. So the report on Canada is part of that. Then the next one, oh, it's 25 to 10 now. We'll have to repair it on time. Thank you very much. Page 5. So that's the first targeted oversight issue. The second one was that we said we want to measure and evaluate the identified embassy's performance in its bilateral relations with the identified country. And this is what also we're saying that we're going to do in Canada, like in any other oversight visit that we're going to do. Thirdly, it was that through the application of parliamentary diplomacy, would determine the identified embassy's performance in multilateral as opposed to bilateral forums in furtherance of national interest, of Africa's national interest, and outcome 11 of government strategic objectives. Now, outcome 11 is the outcome related to international relations, because each of our departments are given outcome 3, outcome 4, outcome 7, and outcome 11 is part of this. But of course, we're then going to check the other broad objectives, the issue about asset management, the issue about asset register, the issue about conditions generally, the issues about staffing, the issues. When we were engaging in discussion, in fact, we went to town to find out whether this particular mission does what it should do, and of course to also find out what the shortcomings were or are. And all of those are captured in the findings. Now, like I did with the report on the field, I would advise that the void of the report is not left into. We just go straight into what we found. What we found, and that should be on page 16. But you know, there are things that I found interesting. Let's go to page 13. There are observations there that are quite interesting for the purpose of this oversight. Page 13. One observation we made was that when it came to welfare letters, this particular mission in Ottawa, in Canada, is a category 4 mission, meaning that it is a hardship mission. Hardship mission in that the weather conditions in Canada, especially the winter, can be very long. You need special clothing, you need special heating facilities for this. And they are given the clothing only once. But also it is a hardship mission in that the issues of currency fluctuation. While the education system, the health system is fine, but things are expensive for someone who earns in terms of the South African rand. So there's always a top up. So it's not one of the missions that you could regard as a ice cream mission. I'm told the ice cream mission are those in Germany and in the USA. Within the diplomatic language, they say ice cream is those that are nice ones. They've got everything. Now, people are like, what should we say? Your country actually loves it.
Actually, contrary, the ice cream ones are the one thing.
The other observation we made was on consular services.
Good that you
correct. The check is not right. Let's go to page 11.
Which is an issue. They are not violated.
some portraits actually cost a lot of money. Before to Queen Elizabeth or Governor General Garundia, that was validated, and the Auditor General will say, this heritage asset is Malian, or some of them find them put somewhere. You can see that the intention is that they might be stolen. So this one, they control that trend. The ICT issues, this was a weakness, because they are not compliant. We were told that the last time they upgraded, it was 2010. Now, inspection in loco, yes, we visited the chancery, we walked around in the official residence of the ambassador, and we made a determination that the ambience itself, when you walk into the chancery, the portraits you find there of the icons of South Africa and everything else is represented, the kind-heartedness, the warmth of the South African people. When you come there, when you enter there, you can say, this is South Africa. So we're very happy with the way the centrality is situated and is representing South Africa. Yeah. Let's go to the finding. But my watch must come back. You watch Lam on Kalia. Even if it's not on time, that doesn't mean that. The first finding is that 4.1 on page 14 was about the chancery and the official residence, that these were providing good diplomatic service or foreign service, and that SA delegation were very happy with it. These two areas of in Canada. The second one was that the mission is implementing the online asset register, also known as the Net Trade. You see that word. You see that word on number 4.2. Then under number 3, 4.3, we learned that there was a need for more capacity in the mission in the light of the envisaged increase in the number of delegations from government and to Canada. So that mission, you need to staff it properly, particularly the two that you were also speaking about, the trade attaché and the home affairs person. But there are lots of visits from South Africa, so they need to be properly staffed so that they can serve the country well. Then we also said on 4.4, the ICT, it must be upgraded, because the last time it was upgraded was 2010. So this ICT, the fact that it is behind, lagging behind, it will pose a serious security challenge or security problem in terms of capturing information. Then on 4.6, we noted that we found that the maintenance plans were always not adhered to because of the budget allocations and the administrative chores that they must go through. They remember, they must comply with the PFMK and all of those things. And then 4.8, we then noted that when working on codes and guidelines referred to in the bill, there will be a need for further close consultation with the Treasury and Public Service to further consider foreign service allowances that impact on this. They may not be the only ones. This one's in Canada, in Germany, in the UK, etc., etc. You may find that, I don't know if it can be factored in the bill. But it's an old sickness that because of foreign currency fluctuation. The budget that is given to the department gets eroded, even for purposes of allowances, for purposes of buying assets and all those things, because what happens, you know, Honorable Mashale, you will see that in every year, October, when we make the MTPN, the mini budget, when it comes to this department, we have to top up, because most of the money is your pound, is your dollar, is your euro, because your rand. When they give you 10 rand in South Africa, when you arrive in Germany, go euro, then it gets eroded to 7 rand or 4 rand. So in October, we actually add something. So what we are saying around the base is that it will not apply only in Canada. It will apply to all the missions where our currency gets eroded because of the dollar exchange. Honorable Dudley, most welcome.
Thank you very much. And it is for being late.
Yes. That was 4.8. Then I added a that was 4.8, and the issue of the weather is also put there. I added just a few. I think that the cancer is pulled by the state, and into the title deed. We've already seen that. Not trade attachers, we've already seen that. And LRPs are vetted, we've seen that. The mission cardio report, we've seen that. Good education and the health system in is good for those who are deployed there, but it's expensive. Then we've just spoken about currency fluctuation. Then we then said we must strengthen economic diplomacy, especially in relation to trade.
Mm-hmm.
Then we said Canada is working on some of the peacekeeping projects in the continent. Your DRC, you'll find them there, and other countries. And it is important that South Africa actually works with them in this area of work. Then we then said asset management, this one is good. No, I added a few things, but some of them actually we have already spoken to them. So let me not burden members. So there are draft recommendations which are for 5.1 up to 5.6 on page 71. The committee observed that there was an urgent need for the Home Affairs to deploy people so that they can deal with the visa, particularly in Ottawa and in Toronto, and that the department must address this. Two, there was a need for a trade attaché, because we said this is a good mission, Ahmad is a good country when it comes to trade. And when you go to the body of the report, you look at trade relations between South Africa and Canada. The things we buy from them and the things we sell to them, not unless my memory does not serve me well. There's a trade deficit against Canada, am I right? Yeah. This is one among a few countries where we actually sell more to them. So they're dealing with America, but in this instance, there are things that we're fetching a lot of money from them. Not to have a trade attaché is actually unacceptable. We must just raise this thing very sharply with the department. The third one, the security issue, we've already spoken about that. The fourth one, we've already spoken about that. The fifth one is that there must be partnership with different departments that are players in Canada, so that there is harmonization of everything, but of course led by CERCO. The committee should be enabled to do more oversight visits to other regions. for content advisor. This one is Mother Lee. Mother Lee, this is calling.
The last one represented the committee has decided the standard recommendation to Parliament that the oversight model is not on our side. So every time we have a report to Parliament, we basically remind us that the committee should be afforded more opportunity for oversight, which unfortunately opportunity is beyond the model.
Okay, Honorable Dudley.
Thank you.
Okay, there's no people who want to speak, but we are no longer on the visit to Canada. We are done with that. We are on the oversight visit to the embassy, to the mission of African Union. This is the second report. Okay, Honorable Dudley, we are on the floor.
Just in support of that last one, just that with the Chief Whip's forum was just being on a trip to London on other business. We were not met either in Ghana or, we were met in a very haphazard sort of way in Ghana by the commission there. We weren't met in London. There was no organization. It was a terribly depressed sense. You know, everything looking run down. It was quite shocking to think that that was such a major place for us to have a footprint. And there was a real clear sense that wherever we were interacting as well, that our commission, our High Commission was not actually on the ball in terms of being present or engaging. And we had quite a few comments about not being engaged by our High Commission. So I just in relation to us, we're not there, we're not seeing those things. And of course, we weren't looking for any of those things. I'm just bringing back an impression that I'm sure without our eyes on those things, there's some serious problems there that we maybe could be helping with, because it's really giving a very bad impression.
That's in the UK.
In the UK, yeah, and in our main High Commission there, it's the saddest thing.
Oh. If you say High Commission, we want to take you there.
No, I'm just suggesting
things
fall apart if we don't have a hand. It's something like that.
Who's the one back there? Maybe let's pay
attention.
Let's pay attention. No, let's pay attention to this weakness.
It's a deputy High Commissioner who's running it, but he looks actually frail and ill, and just all in all, you can tell there's huge problems.
But
and the name now escapes me at this moment. I can get it to you, but I do know that the admin staff, in terms of that people's forum, will have all that background and detail.
Yeah,
and I think all the eyes there saw what I saw. You know, so
No. You see, there are certain missions. Your USA, your UK, your European Union, your Russia, your China, your India, these powers that are made up, your ambassador must be out of scratch. For obvious reasons.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ken. I think just to emphasize 5.6, which should be our standard line when we do report in terms of oversight, and I think Honorable Dutch has just put that point. And it's the same thing that I can say with them, our mission in Senegal. I was in Senegal around October last year. And the same applies, you know, like in a little small, you know, office block, while the Senegalese government has given us a land in a prime promenade, land like your sea point type of land that was donated to us, and we haven't built on it. So I've written a question to the minister to ascertain why are we not building. We've been given that land 10 years ago. But it is precisely that point of why we need to be doing this oversight. And it's a battle and a fight that you have to fight with. So I'm not surprised by the London one, because I think it used to be Robert Mulaba and he was recalled. So there has not been an appointment of an ambassador to UK at this point in time.
Just to add on this, I'm not sure, Ngwabalo, if you had the name of the title of that guy, of Mr. Kelly. What was his title? There is a title he gave me. And it's very important for us to recommend that each mission should have someone like that, the one who does the asset register, who knows the whole administration. His official was council administration, but there is a name, that there is a title. I haven't written it yet. Honorable President, did you get the title?
Okay.
We'll get it, yeah. Just let's get the title. Because of having someone like that, that's why the asset register is done well. In any mission, you need to have someone like that who deals with the procurement, who deals with the administration, who deals with the security part of it. But I would want to emphasize the issue of the security that we've seen there. The fact that the embassy is just around the Governor General and as well as the Prime Minister doesn't justify the security lapse that we've seen there. You know, our mission is just a lapse. I mean, you can just jump over. So it's a national security point, and I think we should emphasize that it must be better secured. The fence is just a low fence. You know, it's not a high fence that shows this is a state property. So we cannot justify it by saying it's between the two high security areas. We need to have our own. And just to also emphasize the issue of the economic diplomacy, that it's unacceptable that we don't have a trade attaché there. And the issue of they said there's no secured communication because of the ICT control, but they are secured, they don't have secured communication, which is quite a problem for us. And they don't have, obviously, the issue of the maintenance plan. It's also a problem because they have to always look at the PFMA in terms of getting the recalls, and sometimes because of the exchange rate, things fall within the cracks. But I think the main issue for me is the security and the home affairs and the trade and industry attaché has not been there. And the peacekeeping mission that you have raised, I think we should also contain because of Canada spends a lot in terms of peacekeeping mission in Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the contribution, Honorable Aputi.
Yeah, Chair. I think what Honorable Tati has said, we should design some protocol in relation to Parliament. My observation is that, I always observe, even if it is also a parliamentarian, we don't get that recognition from the staff, from the embassy, as related to the ministers and government. So we should design some protocol. What is expected of people from embassy? How to receive us and all that. That is my observation, but I'm saying that whatever that we are doing, and I'm saying that because we went to Canada, and going to Canada, it was in relation to coming oversight them. However, if it was on another issue, they were not going to give us that kind of attention that we supposed to be given. So let's ask the Director General to come with that kind of a protocol in relation to the parliamentarian. We don't get that respect we are supposed to get when we go overseas.
Can you alert us where the deal is? Maybe in some of the home affairs. Let me give you the context of the question. In terms of the Vienna Convention, it was long agreed that all embassies must provide consular services. That's the first thing. The second one, there is this system of Europe, the registers of that can be thing up there. Now, in the case of the parliamentarians, when they visit a country, the first port of call is to tell DERCO that you are going to the UA, UK, or to Japan. So the mission there will know that there are MPs or MPLs or councillors coming from South Africa. The embassy knows that. So what the embassy is supposed to do is to prioritize people according to rank. If the president is coming there, the minister is coming there, the councillors are coming there, or the MPs are coming there, it will say the head of the mission was going to see the minister or see the president and take him or her to the corresponding head of state or minister, counterpart. Yeah. But take the first secretary to go and receive the MP. It in fact can never happen that Nkrumah does the protocol, not what is happening. I'm talking about what is ought to happen, or supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen that MPs arrive somewhere and the head of mission has not sent some officials to go and meet them for orientation. But once they have landed there, then they must say, okay, this is Germany. If they want to ask political questions, they tell them, transport, this is what we are here for. Because anything may happen to the MPs. They must get a briefing. The person from the embassy must get our contact details and everything, and then I find a person. There is your transport, ground transport, with hire such a company from that hotel. So they must know where you are sleeping and what you are there for. If there is a mission where people just arrive, there's no ambassador showing up, there's no anyone showing up, not official of any particular rank, absolutely nothing happens. It's not because the protocol does not exist. It is because the head of mission is negligent.
Yeah.
You can make your point, but I'm intuitive. I'm asking my question within this context. It does not mean the protocol does not exist. It does.
Negligent.
Yeah.
So I think.
Because I did hear one ambassador now in someone. I've got too many visitors, I'm not resting. Last time it was a call, the next time it was a minister, we're not resting.
Can you ask that? That is one thing in your job requirement. Are you flexible? Can you be able to work under pressure?
Are you done, Honorable Puti?
Yes,
I'm done. Honorable
Mayela? No, thank you. Without belaboring the point, I would like to touch on what Honorable Mukhalapa touched on. No, the issue of Mr. Taylor. With me, it made Mr. Taylor. It made me observe that, you know, it's important to have staff that is close to issues. Because, you know, the ambassador was still in there. And some of the issues that we wanted, if it wasn't because of those staff members, actually the ambassador would have been found wanting. So it shows the importance of having staff that is on the board.
Yeah.
Now, just one last thing on a very lighter note. On the first recommendation, I would propose that this sentence be reworked, especially with that, because it doesn't start as a recommendation. You know, if you recommend, then you say the committee observes something else. Maybe then just say this is what we recommend. It seems like an observation rather than a recommendation.
This is a contact advisor. On number one, five one.
Yes, Professor, and in fact the whole section of recommendations is going to be restructured in accordance with so that they look like recommendations. This was just for discussion. So we'll shape them into recommendations. The committee agrees with the content plus the ones that they have. So the whole paragraph is going to change.
when will this be 8 to 6?
I will be fired if you come to rewrite things that I would not be excited of their access to parliament and the church does not own up. The quickest way to get me fired is just to put in things that are unparliamentary and tell them you see what will happen to me the next day. So I must be very careful.
Okay,
so
maybe I shouldn't say we'll...
What
I hope to write. The introductory paragraph, which normally the usual one that we use for all our reports, that which will show that the committee is requesting the minister to do the following. So it will be one on the Home Affairs official and also on K data K and the rest. I think the rest are more or less recommendations, which unlike the first one where there is an observation and then followed by recommendation. So we just have a preamble paragraph which introduces that these are recommendations and who is supposed to do what within what time. Normally it's within 3 months.
Good. Do send me the real term. There were some hands, Honorable Dudley, and Sister, you wanted to say something, Honorable Kalyan too. Dudley?
Thank you. Just for our interest, I was thinking that what it looked like to me in both of the missions, that there was a kind of a undercurrent protest going on in terms of the lack of funding. So no one was speaking outwardly about it. Even like in Ghana, the ambassador refused to have us or tea or anything, because there was that I'm thinking she was there, unlike in London, but there was just a sense of, and then us going through the back door and kept waiting and nobody there, because there was a feeling like there was maybe something going on and it was somehow linked to the funding of missions. It was people kind of trying to paint a picture of what they were experiencing themselves in their work.
Thank you very much. I'm going to say a little bit earlier when my wife and I both went to Senegal and saw that piece of land. I came home and did a study and I wanted to report up in Canada as well, because I think it's Canada and Australia that have both started downsizing their missions. What they've done is they would sell a lot of the missions that have been very prime property. So what they could get is, say, $40 million for a piece of property, and then they could buy another meter, downscale the mission, or buy exactly that same property, but just 15 meters or 15 minutes away for a quarter of that price. And a lot of the time what we've seen, like in Brussels as well, is that the missions are far bigger than the staff complement. So it's almost, there's a lot more work and maybe it's actually time that we also revisit, because I know that my colleague keeps on making the call, the rifle falls downsize the amount of missions we have. We're still the second biggest footprint in the world. But that we possibly look at the sizes of our properties, the areas of where our properties are, and look at alternatives for halfway mark between downgrading and downscaling and moving away from certain
areas. I'm going to ask ourselves a question, and it's a very important question. Can you extinguish yours? If and whenever members of this committee, when they are traveling abroad, they observe things in the diplomatic service or in a mission, part of the diplomatic service or the foreign service, that are not representing the country well, or conduct that are not representing the country well, or anything like that. First thing, they were traveling maybe in the name of another committee, but they belong. Where do they report to? And if they to report here, what do we do with those things? Do we say it's a signed report? Because we, as this committee, were not traveling to go and see those things. I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
No, I
well, you see, we are from Canada and we're making recommendations and findings because we were a delegation. In an instance where another Maila went out in the name of justice, but he's serving in his committee, but he then notices that this does not exist in South Africa, this particular thing, and brings them here. We just hear it and then it's okay, if any. Then there's one about to come with, another Dudley on the UK. There's one about Senegal and Brussels. There's one about that you're spoken about. Honorable Hadet told me something about Italy. And we did nothing about it. Because they were traveling with the speaker. But then he visited the mission. Mm-hmm. And saw certain things. But now, because it's like not an official committee visit, I suspect it is wrong. Why don't we bring back this matter, committee staff, if the things that members observe about, and then make it our policy that whenever members have few things that are untoward, we take a certificate, we write to the minister. That our member went to such a place and saw the following thing and we want to intervene. Because how else are we going to be effective? As kind of traveler everywhere else and members bring things there and then. So I'm asking you, how should we handle things like this? Which must become our policy now. Wait, first, let me hear a member.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. And I'm glad that the fixed by the whip exposed it because of then the chief whip was there and the house chair was there, the one who's refusing our oversight model. So he might have seen now why do we want to conduct that. Because of most of the things we hear them by, media. And it's good that they went there and seen. And Ghana was a very particular mission. If you recall, it also had problems. Is where that ambassador
from Ghana?
Ghana. Yeah. So the one who was found who refused to come back, she was busy with hotels there and the department didn't pay.
And the deputy minister is actually way more careful than her. It's also very interesting
by. Yeah. And then London is the same one where there were problems with Robert Mulab. But coming to your point, Chen, what I always do personally myself, when I travel abroad, I make sure that I visit the mission, and go and see what happens there. Sometimes, yes, I'm lucky I could get an ambassador. Sometimes, if not, I would get a senior staff and just make a check there. Politically, what happens is when I come back, I would raise a question to the minister to say, I've observed this, and what is it that you've been doing? But as far as now bringing it here and taking it up as a committee, I'm not sure if I think we can do that. Honorable Kenyon can assist us in terms of the rules moving forward. But it will be good that if these members of this committee who are serving on other committees, when they travel and see and identify some hotspots in terms of our missions, they can bring it here and they can be elevated. They can either personally as members bilaterally engage the ministry or also provide questions to the minister, or we can, as a gentleman's agreement and ladies' agreement, say bring it here and let's do something about it. Because if nothing is being done about it, then it's a futile exercise. I'm sure what Honorable Adel told you in Italy is still continuing now because of nothing has been done. And it's a problem. I could tell you, the one in Senegal is an indictment. It's got our flag there and the barricades around it and land is sitting there with the flag and it's seated there. And then you go to our mission, it's just in some slum in a corner, And you say, but this is not South Africa. So yes, I either Mabalani will assist us in terms of
whether can you still study here and then it's taken to the department. I personally, I always engage the department if I found something in the mission.
You just make my point a little bit, because I want to hear as whether when a member of this committee travels as an official delegation, even for any other delegation other than this one, when they pick up things, shouldn't they ask that we put it in the agenda? Then we speak to it, then we record it, and then we make it officially with I know that you are traveling a lot as a shadow minister of the DA on international relations. Now, you won't be able to bring those things that you pick up when you are traveling paid for by the party and the quality of the mission. Those you are doing party work, what you do with that, you ask the minister a question.
Yeah.
Statement, raise a statement for the party.
Yeah.
It's good for your party. But whenever you have traveled in the name of parliament, then it must come here.
Yeah.
The two ministers of Funuwal, we now, you said they saw the who is that,
yeah.
But why were they there? Then we said, no, there was a delegation which included our member and they saw this. Then that item will be in order to serve you.
Agree.
If I get that that with us, then in fact it will enhance our oversight.
Yeah.
No. Then we can still come with questions. All of that is just no. It was you, not my ear. That could have what happened and not my ear.
No, thanks, Chair. Well, I agree, it would be a good thing. But I would let us to be cautious. That whereas it seems nice, let's not just now and then say we agree on it. Can we maybe shelve it maybe for the week after next, so that we have a sort of a party position on that particular issue? That's my humble request. Not that it's not fun, but just like to exercise our caution.
Happy caution.
Yeah.
Okay. Madam Kalyan.
See, earlier on we had this discussion about a long and elaborate discussion on what a national interest is.
Mm.
Your embassies are a national interest. And it's not functioning optimally, and we know about it. It's a dereliction of our duty as members of this committee not to play an effective oversight role.
Mm.
Now, a party position, I think, Honorable Maeda, with all due respect, is a joke. Your party has put you here, and you have a responsibility to ensure that you execute your duties as a member of this committee. The party had confidence in you to put you here in this committee. Now to say no, hold on. We can't check the position in Ghana just yet until the party gives me the go-ahead. I don't think it's a fair statement to make. So I agree with the position that if the committee comes to know or is made aware that certain embassies overseas are actually not protecting the national interests of the country, then we've got to hold them to account and we've got to ask the DG to come and explain that. There's a vacancy in Delhi for Ambassador High Commissioner. But I was there about 3 weeks ago and the deputy held the fort really well. And the vacancy has been, I think, maybe 2 or 3 months, although the person has been identified and been through the training and everything, ready to take up their post. I think the developments within the ANC must have said, you know, let's just hold on. So some embassies are functioning well without the full ambassador there or the high commissioner. Others are not. Imagine
that a high power delegation from the rotary of the country was disrespected, not only in an African country, but in the IC positions as well. Now, what does that say? Are we talking about incest? I mean, if our parliamentarians were disrespected, what do you think the day-to-day visitors are?
Yeah.
How is the day-to-day visitor being treated, either for homelessness or for trade or for whatever? So, Chairperson, I think that, you know, we should say right to the DG and say, look, we've received some of these concerns. Could you come and give us an overview of the functioning of specific embassies that we know about? We can't speak about what we don't know about. Anyway, that's my view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there must be understood very well. I was saying, if it's a private visit or if it's a party visit, raise a question or a statement with the department minister, because you are doing for party work. But if you were a member of a delegation of parliament other than this one, you bring that item into the discussions of the committee that I want to put visits to Ghana. Then when you come to that, you speak to that, you write a report if necessary, blah, blah, blah. Then if you go to the minister, to the DG under my signature, and the matter will have served in the committee. Then all of the ones that you have now, they are there, but they have not come to what? They are there, but they there's not been a request for them.
Formal
request, yeah. So here's what you can do when just note who did the other issues. Then what we do in future, then we discuss that. Then they must lead discussion. If it's a private visit or a party visit, but if it's a delegation, then it must be for the member who was there, I call me. And then, of course, we will discuss that in the party, on my lap, yeah.
No, Chair, maybe before, let me withdraw the issue of saying the party position. But then, further request that we don't take a decision on this matter. Because we are here engaging airports and oversight reports. Let's help this matter as a standard matter that will be discussed by the committee and then take a position. Because now we are actually smuggling this thing in whilst we are discussing and oversight reports. That's my humble request.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I don't think anyone disagrees with you. All that the chair has asked, and then there was a support for, was that whenever matters like this are brought to the attention of the committee, one was Khadeb, one was Dahi, one was Kalaba, one was Dahma. Would you imagine? When we're traveling, don't refer to the country where. What do we do? Now, the decision that is taken is that such members, if they were traveling as a delegation of a committee of parliament, they must bring it formally, then we'll discuss it, then we'll write to the department and make a recommendation. That's the decision. But if, for now, for today, you are right, it's not going to be part of this report, the oversight report to Canada. Senegal and UK, they're not going to be part of that report. But if the decision that is taken is that those members will bring them.
Mm-hmm.
I served in the SADC TF, and we meet all over SADC.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they are enemies. I'm part of this committee. Then I see that the embassy is to Lafa, then I'm just coming to Kulumanje.
No.
That's a by the way thing.
So I can bring it in. With this decision, it means I can bring it in, make it serve first as an item, and then table a report. And if we are agreed with the report, then write to the minister. Our member was in Namibia, and he saw that there are these things that we think he must attend. So what you are saying, we must not take a decision. It's two entirely separate decisions.
Sure.
There's no decision to factor whatever we're saying here into the oversight report. There's a decision that member will bring this matter formally.
Sure,
they need
to attend.
But
people tend
to
talk.
Yeah.
No.
It may, well, Langan normally is over in the program, but I meet you on that day, the member will request to put in that item.
Yes, he would write to the
I hear that he feels that even on that day, the item will be smuggled in.
Yes,
Commissioner,
you
want to ask
it? The practice is that the committee is that you should approach to the attention of the chair,
mm-hmm.
who will, on behalf of the committee, attend to the center to the minister.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm looking at Rule 158, it says that the chair may act in any manner on behalf of and in the best interest of the committee when it is not practical to arrange a meeting of the committee to discuss that matter. So in that way, you say, might not necessarily need to wait for a policy meeting for them to be attended to. That panel member may write to you that you may direct it to the minister and report next to the committee. But the practice and the rules are also.
Yeah, well, but you know what? I agree, but I'm sorry, I'm the heart of one of some of you. Speaking as a party member, the party leader here in the house. How about that?
I think what Luba has said, Chair, that I endorse it, and really, people like Honorable Taki, they are coming from Atakin because those people are not really representing the target, especially Parliament. As individuals going there.
Why are you putting on a
jacket? I also wear a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just saying that thank you really for being a country South African because really the image of South Africa is being so tough. People, whether being employed or people that have been given tasks, they must take them. Work seriously with respect and all, because if you look at the global competitive index, they say that we are really short with setting expertise as South Africans. We are speaking Ubuntu as our foreign policy thing, but we are not practicing it to our very own. Parliament is very paramount. I thank you, Chair. And thank you very much for bringing it to the chairperson. Thank you.
The matter is the views are canvassed and the matter is exhaustively discussed.
Chair, I just want to put on record that Mr. Jenner is head of corporate governance. That is the title I was looking for. In Ottawa. Remember I said somebody who was responsible for the assets is Mr. Jelly, is the head of corporate governance. It's a position that we need to ensure that in the mission they are there because he's the one who does the asset management, the security and administration. That's honorable like that said. If he wasn't there, we were not going to get the information he wanted.
Yeah, no, but we're done. We're done with the report. Now, on the oversight, can I hear you just adoption of the report? It was a matter of course who moved to the second.
But Chairperson, I mean, I just go back to the point you made earlier. You were worried about what would be inserted and you didn't catch sight of it. But once you adopt a report even with recommendations, who has the final oversight on those recommendations? But I'm happy to second you if you're calling for an adoption.
But should we say the report is noted, the draft report is noted?
You are what is about it.
Then now how do you assist? I'm sure the other one was set will just refine those recommendations and this one refine the before their age is it, I see them that they go.
Then you can sign up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
With
very
amendment.
Much. Now we're left with the minutes.
Oh, do we have to do it?
Yeah. The committee decides. Oh.
No one will organize lunch.
The minutes are. There are 16 minutes.
Yeah.
And if we do them, I would rather we do all of them. And I earlier on. Now wait, give the chair space. I earlier on requested that we defer the quarterly report. So next week, which will be after next week now, then we have 16 minutes. And we're not allowed in terms of the rules to say all of them are adopted. You can't say on, but you can. But we can do that in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be wrong. I have read them. They are very clean.
Yeah.
Many of them are very clean. Yeah. Yeah, I
got
it.
They're
not
for me. Yeah, but I
didn't send
you a call for the book.
Long ago, I can't remember if I was there or not.
Okay, let's look at our great we proceed. I mean, 30 minutes. The minutes of the 31st May. Mine are measured up.
Our package one are very nasty that.
Yeah.
31st
May.
Who did this one?
Yeah, but the package you're going to give me. Okay, I made some of the things. The minutes of the 31st May.
I move.
No, let's do the protocol thing. Page 1. With attendance. Page 2. Page 3, end of the vision. Correction. Page 4. And with us, Honor Mayela. Page 5.
You will have to read it.
Of the
fairy. We are talking minutes of students that we adopted.
Yes. Are we agreed?
Yes.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the 7th June.
Thank you.
advanced.
But on page 2 also, this Z, I mean,
a small Z.
What happened? Number 1, for page 2, for Z, I mean, no. Just a question here on the South Africa Joint Economic Commission. After the
one page,
page two. After the we had an engagement, is there any follow up on having a discussion with the French ambassador to address the committee? Have you received any correspondence from the French ambassador? Can I hear you on page 3?
Yeah.
Page 4. No, that's not arising. Can I hear you on a minute?
No.
Alapa is waiting.
No.
My option.
No.
Is that correct by my email? Then the minute of the 14th June.
Only protocol training.
No,
it's a detail
zero.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is in one down. It's a mess.
And then we can start here.
Yes. How did we end up on this one? I remember me speaking to Ambassador Joine. You're asking whether the training protocol trigger was
but no, whether it's a call.
In the minutes it said that the fault will be developed. They didn't give us a policy.
They said they will come back.
The information, they said they would give it to us.
Yeah. No, and she was anxious that we we'll make a determination of the date.
Yeah. So that's outstanding there.
On this one, how do we record when a party has been
split the line of voting, like we usually say we reserve our right to vote either way, and it's not captured in the minutes. How do you proceed on this one?
It's supposed to be recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be recorded. Must be recorded.
Must be recorded. So with those amendments then.
Yeah. Are you doing it now? It's a principle amendment.
Yes, it's a principle amendment, yeah.
No. Party members are bound by
Yes.
caucus.
Exactly.
How they must
vote. Have to produce evidence once and then
Yeah.
must be recorded.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maïla. Seconded by Kalyan. Then, 20 October.
Okay, I think Honorable Kalyan was supporting
the
meeting.
Yeah, of course, not
by the chair said you were supporting.
No.
Just
confirming
that
our
vote. Thank you.
So,
who is
seconded?
Yeah.
The minutes of the 20th October.
Chair, this is another few things statement, but all the minutes with regards to the service, the financial service, the foreign service law, we've been promised not every entity gave us the written feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And we were promised that we'd get all written feedback from all the departments. So, just another general statement, it's obviously not going to be included in the minutes, but can we just get the report from every single department that is presented to us that has been given us the written
Can I remind ourselves that we said once we have completed the process of stakeholder consultation, all of them are right to us to want to send submission. And then we are going to speak to Telcom and say, to summarize the session now. Public Works has an issue with cost number 8,
Yes.
State Security has an issue with this, something like that, that. So it will come back.
Okay. Yeah. Chair, on the same token, the Department of Defense and Military Services, have they given us their report, written submission and their presentation. They did. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Then, can I hear you on the minutes of the
20th?
Thank you very much. 25th October. But why did you write B, Bergman, and then?
Now
he's right.
Now it's right, yeah.
So it's Darren all the time.
Yeah, it comes right towards the end of the year, yeah.
Page 2? There are no pages?
Could I propose
agenda together, because all of them have input on the foreign service bill. So I suppose that we take them all together.
Does it go to that question you were raising, of saying we can't say all?
Yeah, it is, but you see, according to the rules, this is not input on the bill, so you can take
like
it collectively. Well, that's just mine. Do you not agree with the Robalo? Okay, the Robalo doesn't agree with you and make it work harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always don't permit that.
But usually in Parliament, when we're dealing with the report, the chief whip will stand up and say, that was 1 to 8.
Yeah.
And then, there it is. As long as it was all oversight to Pumalanga, oversight to Lipo, all of them did about oversight.
Okay,
from
okay,
one.
Okay,
let
me propose 1 November. Okay.
Okay, we have minutes on the 1st November.
I suppose.
Second. Are you moving?
Yes.
Yeah. Any
second
I suppose
that.
One
second.
Some
people.
Yeah.
The
8th
November.
It is what it is.
The minutes of the 8th, 15th.
Yeah.
15th November.
Yeah.
lastly, that
the bill by the end of April. Pastor's wife. When we meet after next week, then your advice would be if we are able to deal with it. And see, there are four remaining secular. Whether we'll take all of them one day or we'll take three of them. But on a Wednesday, don't we start first with, you are meaning to the debate on the phone, eh? But the committee can sit in the room.
I'm just thinking ahead in terms of the program of the committee.
Yeah.
Once the budget is presented, you obviously have to devote at least two to three meetings on the budget. But in terms of the bill, if we have maybe a few outstanding submissions that we could take on one day, and then if you apply for maybe a 2-day or a 3-day where we just sit and flatten it out, you can do it by the end of the week. But remember how many holidays there are. We don't know what the programming is in terms of the parliament with the water crisis, but possible that we won't sit. Lots of things.
I thought I heard you say about sitting in the morning of the day of Fona, but no one will be able to come on to the premises if you haven't been accredited.
Yeah.
You
were talking about
the debate. Nihau, Osadu, State, State Security. All those that are remaining, that can they come on those particular days?
Okay.
Then, if we consider that they become part of the stakeholders, then anything after that is a source by source. The source by source consideration, we should factor in all of the other reports. So we see it unfolding that way. By end of April, we may be done. And remember, I have also been, well, it's not only me, but kind of advice that we there are committees that are slow on their bills.
No,
for.
Yeah. Anyway, can you
tell?
On the agenda later in the year, if we can consider it, in one of our talkshop workshop things that we were doing, it was brought to our attention that our trade with India is really not where it should be. And I was just thinking maybe we should be looking at India in terms of our mission there and who's how it's operating and why. So I'm thinking later in the year we might want to add that into our agenda.
Honourable members, thank you very much for your diligent work. All right. We go to our.
Thank you.
Together with your wife. Yeah.